Movies about making movies. Esmeralda, do you anything pop into your head about movies about making movies?
Yeah, I don't remember if it was good, though. I'd seen it a very long time ago, but that it was the movie about the making of Nosferatu. With Willem Dafoe.
Oh, Willem Dafoe, Shadow of the Vampire.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good movie. Yeah. Shadow of the Vampire. That's actually, I've got a list here from Den of Geek, and that comes in at number 8.
Oh.
So of 25, of the 25 best movies ever made about. Yeah, no, that Shadow of the Vampire is a really terrific movie, and Malkovich is in that. And Willem Dafoe gives a really, really great performance. So, yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Let's see. We got some texts coming in. And by the way, are you interested in seeing The Disaster Artist at all, Esmeralda? Have you seen The Room?
No.
Okay.
I have not seen The Room. No, I find it interesting, the whole idea of this guy and how he, I guess, not ego, but he thinks very highly of himself.
He's just a very weird
he's
dude.
He's very confident.
A very weird dude, Esmeralda. I've had him on my show. I've had him in here twice.
Yeah, I've seen him. I've seen him in, you know, just like talking about stuff. And he's
a character.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's an interesting character. And I would like to see this whole behind the scenes thing.
You could understand why Franco would want to play him. I mean, it's a great character and a great role. And he does a great job directing it, too. The movie that's out right now, Disaster Artist, that's a terrific movie about making movies. How about this? Steve says when it comes to movies about making movies, it doesn't get better than Ed Wood.
Oh, yeah.
Ed Wood is fantastic. And Ed Wood is a bit of a companion piece to The Disaster Artist because both of those movies are about guys who make terrible movies. Or in the case of Disaster Artist, one terrible movie. But Ed Wood, a series of really terrible movies. And Ed Wood has basically gone down in history as perhaps the worst filmmaker of all time. And he's directed some of the worst movies ever made. But I really do feel that it's my favorite Johnny Depp performance. I think Ed Wood's my favorite Johnny Depp performance. And what can you say about Martin Landau in it? It's a great movie, a wonderful movie. And the beautiful black and white cinematography, that's a great one. That's way near the top of the list of movies, great movies about making movies. Dan, did anything pop into your head about movies about making movies?
Nothing in terms of like a conventional choice.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite theories about Inception is that it is about making a movie and how each of the characters play a role that would be equivalent to a movie maker. So.
Oh, interesting.
Leonardo DiCaprio would be the director. Ellen Page would be the writer. Joseph Gordon-Levitt would be the producer. Ken Watanabe would be the financier. Tom Hardy would be the lead actor.
The lead actor, yeah.
And so it casts an interesting light on the movie, you know, when you think that they're trying to build a dream, or in this case, a movie for, you know, the character and try to make it as believable as possible and, you know, kind of completed on all the three-dimensional angles that it's going through in order to make it seem real, that it is real when it's just a dream, which is kind of an interesting element.
No, that's a good – a lot of Nolan's movies are about movie making.
Right.
You know what I mean? The subtext is there, and almost every movie he makes has that subtext. And that's a absolutely legitimate theory. You know, the thing about Inception is that – it just gets cooler every time you watch it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, there's so many ways you can interpret the movie.
Right.
If you want to look at it this way or that way or another way. I mean, that movie rules, man.
Great movie.
I mean, it's so great. Esmeralda, do you like Inception?
Yeah. I mean, I saw it maybe once.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a bit much.
It is,
for
well.
Me, just to have to, like, think about it. I'm like, oh, okay. Just the layers.
Yeah. And it really, really, really takes a very long time for that van to hit the water. It takes a ridiculous amount of time for that van to hit the water. So, but no, that's a cool, that's a very cool interpretation. Doug in Kansas City said, you want to know the best movies about making movies? Would it were so simple? Anyway, I liked Hail Caesar from a couple of years ago. Not a fan of Hail Caesar. There were things in it that I liked. This is the Coen Brothers movie from a couple of years ago, which was about, you know, making movies and things like that. I mean, there was more to it. There was a much more complicated subplot, but it took place at the studio where they made movies, and there's a lot of like filming of movies and scenes from movies that they were made. I'm not a big fan of Hail Caesar, but Capitol Pictures is where the movie takes place, and Capitol Pictures is also the studio that signs my favorite character and my favorite Coen Brothers movie, which is Barton Fink, which is another phenomenal movie about making movies. This being a period piece from 1941, where they hire this very successful playwright played by John Turturro, Barton Fink. They sweep him over out to Hollywood. He stays at this very weird hotel where he's got a very strange insurance salesman neighbor in the room next door to him, played by John Goodman, who turns out to be a lot more than just an insurance salesman. And the movie gets very weird and very surrealistic and way out there. It still, like, by far remains my favorite Coen Brothers movie of all time. And it's also a fantastic period piece and a tremendous movie about making movies. So not a fan of Hail Caesar, but I am a huge fan of Barton Fink, which takes place at the same fictional studio that Hail Caesar takes place at. And, you know, Michael Lerner plays the head of the studio of Capitol Pictures. And so when I went to see Hail Caesar, there's a scene. Dan, have you seen Hail? I know you saw Barton Fink, right?
I have seen Barton Fink. I have not seen Hail Caesar.
In Hail Caesar, there's a scene where they go into this big boardroom and you see all these portraits of past studio heads. And I kept looking for Michael Lerner. I was like, you got to put Michael Lerner in there. Just a little tidbit, a little piece of love for your Barton Fink fanatics like me. And I looked and I scanned it. Now, I've only seen the movie once, so maybe if I scan it again, if I watch it, I will look at every single portrait that's on the wall. And Michael Lerner's got to be on there. Got to be. So, Esmeralda, have you seen either of those movies, Barton Fink, Hail Caesar?
I have not.
Okay. Barton Fink, one of the greatest. Okay, we're talking about, in honor of the disaster artist, we're talking about movies, about making movies. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Yeah, man. Hey, good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How are you? It's Monday morning. My dad's going to call in and tell a joke like he does every Monday morning because it's a jokey time. We've got a Blackhawks Express to play back. But right now we're talking about great movies about making movies. The big movie that opened this past weekend, and Colin and Eric and I both, or all three of us really loved it, is The Disaster Artist, which is about the making of the horrible movie The Room. So that got us to thinking about movies, about making movies. And we would love to hear from you. What are your thoughts? 312-981-7200 for talk and text. I got a list here from Den of Geek and another one from Fandango here listing some of the best. And both of them mentioned Get Shorty, which is a movie that I absolutely loved. I just think it's such a great movie. Has anybody seen the new series that they based upon it? It's on, I can't remember what channel it's on.
Epix,
yeah. I've not seen it. Have you given it a shot or anything?
No, I just saw that Ray Romano was in it.
Yeah, Ray Romano is in it. Chris O'Dowd is in it. Like Fargo, it is in that realm. It's not based exactly on the movie, just like the TV series Fargo is just like it's in that spirit of the film. That's what this Get Shorty is about. If anybody's seen it, I'd love to know if it's good. It looks pretty cool. But yeah, Get Shorty, I love that movie. I think Travolta's so great in that movie, and everybody is great in it. It's a very funny movie and a really cool movie, and yeah, I love it. But then that sequel that they did, Be Cool. Oh. Dan, did you ever see Be Cool?
No, I never caught it.
Oh. Terrible, man. Esmeralda, did you see either of those movies, Get Shorty or Be Cool?
Well, as I do, I have
you
seen...
You saw Be Cool.
I have seen bits and pieces of Be Cool and not Get Shorty.
Ugh. Be Cool is horrible. It's so
That's
bad.
The one where with the singer, right?
Yeah, with the singer and the...
In the club,
The
yeah.
Rock is in it. He plays a gay hairdresser in it.
And, right.
And then they reunite Uma Thurman with John Travolta, you know, from Pulp Fiction, although this is... it's terrible. Absolutely terrible. But Get Shorty, a great movie about making movies. 815 area code says Boogie Nights. Yes, sir. Absolutely right. That comes in at number 2 on the Den of Geek lists of the best movies ever made about movies. 815 area code, a different 815 says Get Shorty was a fun movie, which we were just talking about. Peter in Decatur says The Player and The Big Picture, both good choices. Player, Robert Altman's classic movie with Tim Robbins and an all-star cast, a very cynical look at the movie business and making movies. I like the movie. I don't love it as much as everybody else seems to. A lot of people just have really really, you know, gone crazy over that movie and praised it to high heaven for all the years it's been around. And I like it, but I don't love it. Now, The Big Picture is an interesting thing because it's the only movie that Christopher Guest directed that isn't a fake mockumentary. It's an actual sort of narrative. There's a story to it. It's not a fake documentary. It's not a mockumentary. Kevin Bacon plays a filmmaker who wants to break into the business, and it gets corrupted by all of the shenanigans, and loses sight of who he is and, you know, what he once was. And it's a movie about how, you know, the movie business is corrupt, and, you know, and it's also like The Player. It's very cynical in its view on Hollywood. And it's also very, very funny. I think it's the best movie that Christopher Guest has ever directed. I mean, like, by far, because I'm not a fan of his mockumentary movies. I'm like the only person on the planet that doesn't like them. But this is the best thing that he's ever done. And the cast is terrific. J.T. Walsh, the great character actor, the late, great J.T. Walsh, is fantastic in it. But Martin Short, plays an agent in the movie. And I think it's one of Martin Short's funniest performances of all time. And Martin Short is obviously a very, very funny guy who has been very, very funny in a lot of movies. But this performance in The Big Picture, and it was a movie that came out. It came and went. It was only in one theater, I think, when it came out. And it barely played for a couple of weeks. And it very rarely shows up on cable. You know, I don't even know if it's out on Blu-ray or DVD or anything like that. I don't have it at home. I should probably look it up to see if it's available. But it's a really, really funny movie, The Big Picture. Kevin Bacon, co-written and directed by Christopher Guest. And again, everybody in it is very funny, but man, Martin Short, just ridiculously funny. So, all right, here's Mike on WGN. Hey, Mike.
Don't forget J.T. Walsh was in that also.
No, I just mentioned it. I guess I mentioned J.T. Walsh, yeah.
Okay, cool, yeah, cool, cool. Yeah. I got two for you. Stuntman, Peter O'Toole.
Great movie.
And, great movie. And Hearts of the West with Jeff Bridges and Andy Griffith.
By the way, Jeff Bridges' birthday today, everybody.
Oh, cool.
My favorite actor of all time, 68 years old today, Jeff Bridges. Hearts of the West is a terrific movie. The Stuntman, I remember when I was in high school when that movie came out.
Okay.
Written and directed by the great Richard Rush. And
yeah,
I remember going to see it at the Norwich, and I didn't know what to expect, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of a little overwhelmed by it. You know, I'm like a 16-year-old kid, and I'm watching this movie, and I thought it was so weird. It is a very strange movie.
It is.
And it was so weird that it took me a couple of viewings to realize how great it was. I was just a little bit put off by it the first time I saw it. I was like, what's going on here?
Expecting something else? Maybe?
Yeah, I think I was. I think I was expecting more of a straightforward movie about movie making, but that's it's not at all what it is.
No.
But and Peter O'Toole is phenomenal in it. He got nominated for that.
He got nominated. He should have won for that.
Yeah, he was great. He was great in it. And Hearts of the West, fantastic movie. Yeah. All right. Mike, thanks, man.
That. You're welcome. Take care.
Have a good deal. There you go. There you go. Yeah, The Stuntman. We got a text on that one. 708 area code said, how about The Stuntman? Peter O'Toole is great as the manipulative director. True. True. 312 area code says, not necessarily about making movies, but the background is part of the process of Brian De Palma's Blowout, which Carl mentioned. Carl Amare, when we were talking, doing some crosstalk, and I was telling him that we were going to talk about this topic, he immediately said Blowout, which isn't a movie about making movies, but movie making is part of it. Especially the sound, you know, because in the movie, John Travolta is out at night recording sounds for a terrible horror movie that he's doing, and he records an accident, which turns out to be an assassination attempt, and opens up a whole mess of conspiracy theories, and it turns out to be, I think, one of the greatest thrillers ever made, and I think one of the most important American movies ever made, and that's Blowout. But it does have a nice, cool background in movie making as well. Okay, we'll take a break. We got the news coming up next, and then we'll talk more about movies, about making movies. My dad will call and tell a joke, and we'll hear the Blackhawks Express, all coming up right here on Monday morning. Well, hi. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Here till 5. Steve Grzanich has your opening bell coming up at 5 o'clock, and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. It's Monday morning, so that means my dad is going to call in and tell a joke. We like to start off your work week with a laugh, so my dad's going to call in and tell a jokey time. We also have a Blackhawks Express to play from an unfortunate game from last night. The Hawks are on a skid, and I hope they can get their footing as the days go on. Now they did have to play five games in four days. That would be impossible. 5 games in 7 days. Lots of traveling, and you know their best player is on injured reserve right now, and that doesn't help matters. And they've been playing uncharacteristically, not very good. So. Hopefully they'll do better, but we'll hear the highlights from last night's game for the Blackhawks Express. That's all coming up. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text, 312-981-7200. And we are talking about movies, about making movies, great movies about making movies. The new movie, The Disaster Artist, which we reviewed earlier, Colin and Eric and myself, and we all loved it, is about the making of a terrible movie called The Room. And now we're talking about movies about making movies. Got some texts here. Lake Geneva Dan says, how about Wag the Dog? Yes, Wag the Dog, David Mamet. Very funny movie. Particularly good in it is Dustin Hoffman. Dustin Hoffman is fantastic in that movie. Mary says, I have never seen Living in Oblivion, but a friend of mine says it's one of his favorite movies and it's about making a movie. Do you like it and can you talk a little bit about it? Sure, I do like it, Mary. It's from about 22 years ago. I want to say 95 and Living Oblivion. It's Steve Buscemi plays a filmmaker who is making an ultra like low/no budget movie. And it's about this group of people trying to get this movie made. Catherine Keener's in it. Dermot Mulroney, James LeGros is in it. It's an interesting cast. Kevin Corrigan is also in it. And it came out at a time when there were a lot of sort of ironic sort of indie movies that were coming out. It was during the boom of the indie movies, like right around 95, because after Clerks came out in like 94, then there was the whole indie thing, the Miramax movies and all the indie movies that came out. They were just week after week after week. There was another sort of low budget one. And that kind of got lost. Living in Oblivion got lost in the mix. But it remains a really good movie, I think. Steve Buscemi's very good in it. So it's about making an ultra-low-budget movie, and I think it's funny and good and interesting. So you should check it out. All right, let's see. 847 area code says, Kirk Douglas, The Bad and the Beautiful. That's a great movie. Haven't seen that one in many, many years, though. Let's see. After the Fox with Peter Sellers and Victor Mature. Haven't seen that one in... many, many years. Yeah, man. Okay, I haven't seen that one in a long time. I'm a little dumbstruck because I haven't seen it. Well, I'm also very dumbstruck. Let's see. Mike from Novak Construction, the Burt Reynolds movie Hooper is a good movie about making movies. Yes, it is. Hooper is actually on this list. Hooper was made at the time when Burt Reynolds was... It was pretty much the height of his popularity, 1978. Nobody was bigger than Burt Reynolds. And this was a movie he made with the same guys that direct, the same people that put together the Smokey and the Bandit movies and the Cannonball Run movies. But this is actually a good movie. But Smokey and the Bandit's good, but the Cannonball Run movies suck. But the Hooper is about a stuntman, mm-hmm. Who Burt Reynolds plays, a stuntman. Who is getting up in years, and you know the bones are starting to ache and the things are starting to not go so well. And Jan Michael Vincent plays like the young stud stuntman who is going to start taking jobs away from guys like Burt Reynolds. Mm-hmm. And it's about making movies and you know getting older while you're doing it. And Burt Reynolds spent a significant amount of time as a stuntman, and the director Hal Needham, who directed the Smokey and the Bandit movies, also was a stuntman. So there's a lot of authenticity to it, and it's actually really a charming and good movie. One of the better Burt Reynolds movies from that era. 708 area code says, I think Fitzcarraldo is amazing. Wish they'd done something similar to Friedkin's Sorcerer. Yeah, Fitzcarraldo is a pretty great movie. Herzog has made a lot of crazy movies that are metaphors for making movies. So... someone texts in Singing in the Rain, which is number one on this list, number one on both lists that I have, as the best movie ever made about making movies. And I guess I would have to agree with that, you know, considering it's a legendary movie and it is, you know, it's a masterpiece about making movies. But, you know, I don't know why people don't think of it immediately. Like, Singing in the Rain, I think a lot of people forget that it is indeed about making movies.
Yeah.
But it is. Here's one that's mentioned here. Be Kind Rewind. You ever see this movie?
Yeah.
With Jack Black and Mos Def.
Mm-hmm.
And they recreate movies.
Yeah.
Something
happens, some, like, electrical thing.
Right. Yeah. All their movies are erased, so they have to go back and they recreate them on VHS, like they recreate Ghostbusters and all these other other movies. They shoot their own versions of them. I remember when that movie came out, it got slammed by critics, which I don't agree with. I think it's a very entertaining movie. I like it, but it really did get annihilated by the critics, and it didn't make any money at all. But I thought it was good. How about Wes Craven's New Nightmare? You're not a horror fan.
No, I saw that one.
You saw.
Yeah.
You saw Wes Craven's New Nightmare.
Yeah. I've seen it multiple times, actually.
Really? Why is that?
I don't know.
How many of the Nightmare movies have you seen?
I've seen that one.
Yeah.
I've seen the first one.
Well, those are the two good ones.
And then what's the one? There's one where, I think I've seen the one where it's his daughter, where they find out some girl.
Oh, that's kid. Probably, I think that's Dream Child.
I think.
Like she's psychic and stuff?
No,
I don't know.
I don't. Yeah.
I get him. The only two that I know
there's,
really well.
Yeah, the first one, the last
first one,
and
the
like,
yeah,
one in between.
And I like Freddy vs. Jason, but that's not necessarily. But New Nightmare is a really creepy movie, man.
It is
really creepy. It
freaked me out. I was like, Robert Englund, what's going on?
Yeah, and it's. I love the fact that it's like they all play themselves at some point. There's this alternative reality where Heather Langenkamp plays her,
mm-hmm.
Wes Craven plays himself, Englund plays himself.
Yeah.
And it is about movie making and. Her husband's a special effects guy, and the kid, their kid's freaking out. And
that kid really...
He was amazing.
He's really good at playing, because isn't he
Pet
the
Sematary.
Little baby? Yeah.
He was the kid in Pet Sematary.
He's really good at those
He was
movies.
In New Nightmare, and at Flashback Weekend about 4 years ago, I got drunk with him in a parking lot. He came to Flashback Weekend, and we hung out, and we got drunk near the zombie bus. So I drank with the kid from a Pet Sematary. And
I'm assuming he hasn't done anything.
Not really. He's an adult, by the way. I want you to know that 4 years ago he was like in his late 20s at that point, because those movies were really, you know, like Nightmare on Elm Street. The Nightmare movie was late 90s, maybe 96, 97. No. Yeah, because it was before Scream. No, so it was 94, because Scream was 96. And everybody was talking about how Scream was this meta, you know, movie commenting mm-hmm. on horror movies, when in fact he beat him to the punch. He beat himself to the punch with New Nightmare.
Yeah.
Because New Nightmare was the first. I mean, Scream was funny.
Mm-hmm.
New Nightmare's not. Like, New Nightmare is sort of really creepy and serious and scary. But, you know, Kevin Williamson's script for Scream, which I think took a cue from New Nightmare because of how meta New Nightmare was, and they made it funny. And Scream is awesome, obviously.
Yeah.
But the first one to do it was New Nightmare. That was a creepy movie. I you know, the first one and that one are really genuinely scary movies. The other ones get silly. It's just like, I'm going to turn you into a cockroach and I'm going to squeeze you.
Right. Yeah, that's, thinking about it now, he wasn't as, he didn't have like zingers.
He didn't have zingers in the first one.
Didn't he have any?
No. I mean, he did maybe a couple here and there. But like, the rest of them, you know, all of the other movies was like, he had a smart ass remark every time he killed somebody.
Right. Which I enjoyed.
Yeah. But it's not in the, and then the New Nightmare is deadly serious. That's a, you know, that's a scary movie for people who've never seen it. I can't believe you actually sat through that multiple times.
I don't know why I've seen it more than once.
That's kind of scary, man. I know you don't like horror movies, and that's a really scary movie. Good for you for sitting through it a couple of times.
Yes.
Congratulations. before we break here. I want to mention, we can talk more about it after my dad tells the joke and we hear the Blackhawks Express. But I really, in order to talk about movies about making movies, I would be remiss if we did not talk about Tropic Thunder.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. What a funny movie. And a remarkable performance by Tom Cruise in that movie. All right. We got a break here. We got weather. We got traffic. And then my dad's going to tell a joke. All right. We're talking about movies that are about making movies, and we were talking about that. And before my dad told the joke and we listened to the Unfortunate Express, I mentioned Tropic Thunder, which I think is a great movie about making movies and a really, really funny movie with a lot of, you know, sort of inside Hollywood jokes. And you've seen it, right, Esmeralda?
I have, yeah.
And right from the beginning of the movie with the fake trailers, I was like, okay, this is going to be really good. Because all those fake trailers were just hysterical. And the fact that he got what made it even more authentic was that he actually got cooperation from a bunch of different studios to use their logos to make those trailers look like they were real.
Yeah.
You know, like different logos from different companies that never worked together before, and yet Stiller got them all to participate, so it looked like those trailers were even more authentic. And everybody in it, I mean, obviously everybody, you know, Robert Downey Jr. got nominated for an Academy Award for it. Lots of big laughs. The great Steve Coogan is in it. It's an incredible cast. But Tom Cruise. I mean, Tom Cruise, man. I don't even know what to say.
I was not expecting that whatsoever.
He's so good in it. He's so good in it. And a lot of it was his idea, too. Like, he was like, I want fat arms with hair all over them. And I want to be able to dance. And he picked the song to do the dance to.
I wonder
and everything.
If he molded his character after anyone.
He won't admit it.
Right.
But it's a combination. I can't remember exactly. It was a combination of two guys. Mm-hmm. Oddly, I believe one of them was Harvey Weinstein.
Right.
Because Harvey Weinstein, you know, now, you know, we all know what a scumbag he is. But he was always a bastard. Like, he was always a bully. You know, all the sexual stuff came later.
Yeah, that makes sense.
There were rumors about it, but he was always, like, a bully. I remember they were getting Seth Rogen's opinion on all this nonsense, this horrible stuff that happened over the past month, couple of months. And he said, I met him one time and said I'd never work with him. Just by the way he behaved. He said, I didn't know about the sexual stuff.
Yeah.
But just by the way that guy behaved, I was like, there's no way I would ever work with him. So, and there you go. So that's some of the best. State in Maine is another one I wanted to mention really quickly. And a Canadian Bill says, how about Steve Martin's Bowfinger? Yes, absolutely. Mark says, Singing in the Rain, Hugo, and Sunset Boulevard. And then 312 area code mentions your favorite person ever.
Oh, Edward?
No, Argo.
Oh.
With With Ben Affleck. It's a good movie, though.
I'm sure.
All right.